Good morning, everyone, and thanks for coming along and being with us today. Have you ever wondered what it would be like to walk side by side with Jesus? I mean, he's walking along doing the things that he does, and he's available to talk to if you have any questions. If you need direction, he'll give that to you. Perhaps if you stumble and fall, he'll pick you up, dust you off, put you on. Wouldn't that just be the best thing to experience? Well, the truth is, he's here. He's here. And he's still doing the things that we've just listed. Well, Jesus told the disciples, said, listen, I'm going to be going away. And if I go away, I'll send the Comforter to be here with you. And he said, it's more helpful for you if I go away, so I can send the Comforter to where he'll be here. And he'll do these things. Oh, and it'll be just like Jesus being with us, because he'll give us the words of Jesus just as if he is there. So we could literally say, Jesus is there 24/7. So who is this Comforter? Well, we know him to be the Holy Spirit. Well, who's the Holy Spirit? What's he like? Well, that's what we'll try to answer in the next couple of weeks. But so let's begin with a couple of questions. What is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? What's the Holy Spirit's job? What's the Holy Spirit done in the past? What's he doing now? And what will he continue doing? Anyway, with the answer to these questions, we should have a better grasp of who the Holy Spirit is. But first, let me lay some groundwork. I want you to imagine that you're out on an island somewhere by yourself. It's a deserted island. And you have nothing out there except maybe some food and water. And then one day, a Bible floats up and you begin reading that Bible. You get interested and you really, really dig down into the Bible. And then you get over to the book of Acts and you read what Peter said in Acts 2:38. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So you repent of your sins. You go find some water and you take a full dip, just like you had read that Jesus did. And then you said, Lord, I love you. I want you to have all of me. Well, at that point, according to the Bible, the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So let me ask you, based on what you have read about the Holy Spirit, what are you going to now expect? Now keep in mind, you're on an island. You don't have some pastor to talk to. You don't have some theological book to consult. You don't have your church history and traditions to inform you or even to confuse you. So what are you going to expect from the Holy Spirit? Well, that's some things that we're going to talk about. But first, let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you the rain has stopped. Thank you for the sunshine. And thank you for the opportunity to investigate this mysterious yet ever-present being or person, and that's the Holy Spirit. We ask you to guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, as you thought about that, what'd you come up with? Based upon what you read in the Bible, does everything remain the same when the Holy Spirit moves inside of you? Or should your life change? Another question, have we seen these changes in our church? Are we missing something in our life? And are we missing something in the life of the church? Could be. Or maybe not. But before we jump into the questions now, I want to look at what I believe to be the definitive verses in the Bible that tells us about the Holy Spirit. And these words are straight from Jesus Christ. John chapter 14, verses 15 and 7 through 17. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. In these things, Jesus tells us a few things. Let me just kind of reiterate that first one. He says, if you love me and keep my commandments, Jesus will ask the Father and to give the helper to those who love him, and he'll stay with them forever. But it does look to me like the giving of the Holy Spirit is dependent completely upon those, a person loving Jesus and keeping his commandments. Why would he do any other thing? And this helper, he's also called the Spirit of Truth. And those in the world who do not love Jesus, who do not keep his commandments, will not have the Holy Spirit. Kind of a black and white situation. And then Jesus says the Holy Spirit will be in you forever. Simply stated, you who have the Holy Spirit will be possessed. I know that's a strong word, but that's what it is. You'll be possessed by the Holy Spirit. And that's the Spirit of God that will be with you forever. Now let's go to verse number 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring them to your remembrance, all that I have said to you. The Holy Spirit will be sent in the name of Jesus. Remember how powerful the name of Jesus is. Sometimes we sell that short. Sometimes we don't use the name of Jesus with confidence, but that's another talk. But the Holy Spirit will be sent in the name of Jesus, and he will teach us all things, and he will point us back to the things that Jesus said. Quite interesting, isn't it? Now go with me to John chapter 15, verse number 26. Jesus says, but when the Helper comes, who I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. So the Helper, the Spirit of truth that comes straight from the Father, he will remind us of Jesus. Now, that sounds like Jesus is repeating himself, and I think he is, but the point is clear that he's trying to make. One of the Holy Spirit's main job is to remind us of the things that Jesus said. Jesus said also that he will take of mine and he will give to you. So the Holy Spirit will be and is all about Jesus. So now let's get to our questions. Who is the Holy Spirit? Well, we already know some of his titles: the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, the Advocate, and finally, the Holy Spirit. But there's a few more things that I want us to see about the Holy Spirit that are relevant. Go with me to Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. Now watch. And the Spirit of God, that's the Holy Spirit, was hovering over the face of the waters. So the Holy Spirit was active in the creation of the world. So who is he? Go with me to Isaiah chapter 40, verses 13 through 14. Who has measured the Spirit of the Lord, Or what man shows him his counsel? Whom did he consult, and who made him understand? Who taught him the path of justice, and taught him knowledge, and showed him the way of understanding? The Holy Spirit's true identity is becoming really, really clear. But before we make a dogmatic and definitive statement about that, let's go to the New Testament and look at something that happened in the early church. Acts chapter 5, verse number 34. Acts 5, verses 3 and 4. But Peter said, Ananias, well, let me set the stage. I'm getting ahead of myself. Ananias and Sapphira, some people in that early church, they had a piece of property. They sold it. And they chose or conspired between them not to tell the church the total amount. They would only give a certain amount. That was their call. They did something that didn't sit well with the Holy Spirit. Verse 3, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back from yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? Well, yeah, it was theirs. They could do with it what they choose. And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Yes, he could choose whatever he wanted to do. So why is it, here's the question, that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have, now watch, you have not lied to man, but to God. So, the Holy Spirit, according to Peter, is God. So, the Holy Spirit is God. What are the ramifications of that? That for those of us who love Jesus, follow his commandments, that the Spirit of God lives within us, but we know that to be true. Paul said, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? You are not with your, you're not your own. You're bought with the price. Folks, one of the clearest teachings in the New Testament is God lives inside us. Let me ask you, should it make a difference in how we live? And secondly, why doesn't it? So, one more verse that will expand our view of the Holy Spirit. Go with me to Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 6. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. According to Paul, the Holy Spirit that's living inside his Jesus' followers is the Spirit of Jesus. So the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. Wow. But in our circles, the Holy Spirit rarely gets a mention. I had heard A.W. Tozer say the other day, he said, in most evangelical churches, the Holy Spirit can leave for a year and they would never know He was gone, because we're into our routines, we're into our traditions, we're into the mechanics of the church. We just keep plodding on, and the Spirit of God is not even there. Do you notice that we have a problem? We need to set about changing that. So here's what we know about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was active in the creation of the world. And the Holy Spirit is now actively living in the lives of those who follow Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. He's the Spirit of Jesus. Now, I know for sure that you haven't learned anything new today, because we've just looked at some passages of Scripture that we've all known. But I just want to reemphasize the fact, the importance of the Holy Spirit. And ask the question, do we actually recognize Him and allow Him to work? Now, let's go back to our original text. text, John chapter 14, verses 15 through 17, I want you to get something. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to help to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And we know that he started doing that in Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost. So when the Holy Spirit came, he began living in the lives of those who love Jesus and that keep his commandments. So here's the question I want you to take with you. The very fact that God lives within us, should it make a difference in how we live? So what difference should that make in you? What difference should it make in our church? So are we missing something? I think we are. I think we're really missing something. There's a huge part of the Christian faith that we have relegated to someone else. We're missing it. So what? What are we missing? I want you to read through the book of Acts of the Apostles and the writings of Paul to see the difference that the Holy Spirit made in the lives of believers. Now, keep in mind, you're on an island somewhere. You don't have your church traditions. You don't have theological books. You don't have some preacher to talk to. You don't have family to reference. Read through the Bible. Let the Bible tell you what difference the Holy Spirit made in the lives of those who followed Jesus. And finally, let me review two verses that we've already looked at. John chapter 14, verses 23 and 24. And Jesus said to them, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. We have the treasure of the Holy Spirit living within us if we love Jesus and keep his commandments. That is a wonderful gift. We can actually talk to Jesus, and through the Holy Spirit, he speaks back. That's how active the Holy Spirit is supposed to be in our lives. We need to recognize that. But remember, it's very important that we love Jesus completely. He is Lord. Should be treated that way. And we should keep his commandments. And for those who don't love him and don't keep his commandments, they can't know the Holy Spirit. They're missing that very important part that we are taking for granted. So don't you think it's time that we should stop taking the Holy Spirit for granted and start recognizing his presence and allowing him to work freely in our lives and in our church? Father, I thank you, Lord, for the day you've given us. Thank you for these verses in the Bible that tell us clearly who the Holy Spirit is and tells the difference that he can make. And help us, Father, as we read through the book of Acts and the writings of Paul, to see the differences that the Holy Spirit makes in the lives of those who follow Jesus. And help us to apply what we learn. In Jesus' name, amen.